Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. I'm so grateful for that scripture. I've always been so grateful for that quote from the Old Testament, that a bruised reed he doesn't break, smoldering flax he will not put out. There are several verses. I know that people talk about having a life verse. I'm too sanguine for that. I've got like several life verses. But there are some original life verses. One of them is Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by the transgressions of the one, death reigned through the one, much more those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life through the one Christ Jesus. And that kind of with John 10:10 about, he came that I might have life and have it more abundantly. And in the context of when I first gave my life to Jesus and I was suffering from mental illness, those were important scriptures to me as the Lord was beginning to teach me that only Jesus Christ could live the Christian life successfully. And that is that he was offering me abundant life, and his calling was for me to reign in life through the one Christ Jesus, not just to wait till I go to heaven and reign in heaven, but even now. But the other true north scripture for me was Psalm 73. In my old original Bible, had a leather cover on it that was handmade for me because the original cover I wore off. There's engraved in it Psalm 73, 25, and 26. And that became a life changer for me, a game changer for me, and therefore became, again, one of the true north realities for me. Psalm 73, the psalmist is complaining because he's comparing himself to others. Particularly in the psalm, he's comparing himself to people in the world who seem to be prospering and doing well and mocking God. And yet he said that his heart was pure, he was a follower of God, but he was going through stuff. It says in verse 15, but if I had said, I will speak thus, his complaints about the Lord, as he said in the verse before that, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. But if I would speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of your children. When I pondered to understand this about how other people seem to not be suffering the way he's suffering, and yet his walk with the Lord is so much different than theirs, until I came into the sanctuary of God, and then I perceived their outcome. And so as he gets in God's presence, God begins to speak to him the truth, to see things from God's perspective, through the eyes of the Lord. And after the Lord speaks to him, he says in verse 25, whom have I in heaven but you? And with you, I desire nothing on earth. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For behold, those who are far off from thee will perish. You have silenced all those who are unfaithful to you. But as for me, the nearness of God is my good, and I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. The Lord spoke these scriptures to me, and they became one of my life verses in the context of a very difficult time in my life. I was in my late 20s. I was living in Birmingham, working for a ministry there I'd been working for a number of years. And I went through an experience of a real loss, one that was surprising to me, one that came out of nowhere to me, and it was devastating. And one of the things that I feared that the enemy was kidding me with is that I felt really lonely, and I was convinced the enemy was trying to convince me that I was going to be lonely like that the rest of my life. And the Lord spoke these scriptures. And whom have I in heaven but you? And besides you, I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And one of the things I realized that is that there are going to be times in my life when it feels like my heart and my flesh are failing. But the Lord would be the strength of my heart, and he would be my portion forever. And those scriptures, whom have I in heaven but you, and with you I desire nothing on earth. Somebody sent me a song, a couple of songs listened to that I had not heard. One of them was, I forget the name of it. But there's one of the verses that talks about, I'm still in love and you're still enough for me. I think Stephanie Gratzinger was the one who sang it. And it just reminded me of these scriptures and how profoundly powerful they were, because it lifted me out of that deception of what the enemy was trying to do to me in the place of loss. And what I also discovered is this is often in a place of loss when you feel like God's all you've got. It's when you discover that he's actually all you need. And everything else is extra. It may be wonderful and special extra, but it's still true that he's enough. I think I've told this story before. I had a dear friend who was a physician and was waiting to be approved by somehow to get into Pakistan to serve as a missionary with this missionary organization. But it kept being delays. There kept being delays, and it was like taking 2 years for it to happen. And she was a little bit prone towards being down. She had more of a melancholy personality than opposed to my sanguine personality. And she went to her into her room. She was staying, living with a family that I knew real well. And sort of was just depressed for a couple of weeks. And then at some point she came out of the room and she made the decision. And she declared this: if I have to sit in this house and never go anywhere again as long as I live, he's going to be enough for me. And it was a transformational thing for her. Well, then a few weeks, the doors opened up for her to go to Pakistan. God was waiting for her to discover that he was enough. And I find now that 40 years later, this is still such a true North scripture to me, that there are times when your heart and your flesh fail. But God is faithful. If you've concluded that he, the nearness of God, is your good, if you've embraced that reality, then you'll discover that he'll be your portion. And that portion is enough and satisfying. Because it's not just once. There are other times in your life when you'll feel like God's all you've got. And then the enemy sometimes will get you to kind of scan around and go, oh my gosh, not just a, this is written about him looking at lost people and being envious, but you can also look at Christians, other brothers and sisters, and become envious and compare yourself. Christian ministers do it all the time. They wish they had this person's ministry, or their ministry was, quote, this big. I don't know what big looks like. Was Jesus more successful as a father when he was hanging around with the guys around the campfire, or when he was speaking to thousands of people? I think it was the same to God. But there are all those places where the enemy tries to get us to compare ourselves to other people, project our future, project what we're going through, because he wants to rob us of the reality that the Lord is our portion. And we're brought back to that place, that true north that says, God is enough. That whom have I in heaven but you? And with you, I desire nothing on this earth, for you are my portion forever. And that's such a liberating place, because then you're not captivated by envy or comparing. It liberates you to celebrate the truth that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's a powerful verse. If his presence is your portion, then no matter what you find yourself going through or what situation you may find yourself in his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand, in his presence, there are pleasures forevermore. And it's always enough. And it creates this sort of holy bubble where there's just places the enemy can't get to. And for whatever reason this morning, I think when I heard that song, I thought about this scripture. And I find myself 40 years later there again, rediscovering how incredibly true this is. Why the Lord had me engrave it on the outside of my Bible, because he engraved it on my heart. And sometimes you have to kind of open up your heart and see those things that God has engraved on your heart, because those are the things that become bedrock as you walk through life. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.